Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Leon Keys. Tonight we're doing our UFC 226 predictions. Big event tonight. We have one fight that had to be removed. The co-main event had to be removed from the card. So then we also had a good fight pushed up to the main card, the Paul Felder. Platinum Mike Perry fights moved to the main card. Yeah, it should be a good event tonight. We got champ against champ. We got Stipe going against Daniel Cormier, heavyweight champ going against the light heavyweight champ. We have Mike Chiesa, who didn't make weight, going against Showtime Anthony Pettis. We have two banging heavyweights going against each other tonight. We have Francis Ngannou going against Derek the Black Beast Lewis. And then, like I said, we have Paul Felder going against Mike Platinum Perry. Also, there's some quality fights on the undercard also. Tonight should be a very good event for the UFC. Looking forward to it. Waiting on my man Keys to call in. But I'm about to pull up the card here to see exactly what we're working with tonight. I should have already had this done, but my bad. You know, we decided to do this late last night. So, you know, but we wanted to get in and talk about this card and talk about this event. You know, we like to talk about the real big events because the UFC normally puts on quality events when they have pay-per-view. So, especially whenever they're in Vegas. So, let's pull this card up. All right, there we go. Yup. Stipe, Cormier, Frank, Ngannou, Lewis, Felder Perry, Chiesa Pettis. And then you got Khalil Roundtree going against Gokhan Saki, which would be a good fight. Also, you got Uriah Hall going against Paulo Costa. Then the fight to me and my man Keys that we looking forward to is the Rafael Sunside fight versus Rob Font. Man, this is a good card they're putting on tonight. Very good card. Man, this card is banging. So hopefully all the fighters make it to the event healthy, ready to go. I think the UFC basically, you know, whenever they do pay-per-views, they, you know, they always try to have a title fight. But lately they've been trying to have two title fights on the card. And they're having two title fights like it at your big events, as far as like the end of year event, the fight, the International Fight Weekend card they have, whenever they have an event in MSG. You know, stuff like that, having like two title fights on the card. But I think as long as you got one title fight and then a good card to go with it, it makes the card worth it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yo,
hey,
Danny?
What's going on, my man? Yeah, I can
hear
you.
Me good?
Yeah, I can hear
on,
you good.
Man?
I was just. No, man, I was just telling the people about, you know, how the UFC likes to have, you know, two title fights on their pay-per-view cards. And, you know, I was like, I kind of agree, but I don't agree. As long as you got a good card behind it, then, you know, I'm all for it. Because, like, this card here, they supposed to have two title fights, but they only got one. But this card is so good that, you know, I would still buy it if I was buying it at my house. So, you know, that's just my take on having two title fights on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think two title fights now is definitely the standard. Anytime they have less than two title fights on a card, it's kind of like, damn, what happened? So they can, you know, they got to understand when a fight drops out that people are going to, that it's less appealing because that's the kind of format that they've made, you know, the norm now. So fans, you expect that much when you get it every time. You know, I don't remember the last time there was a card where they didn't at least try to have two title fights. Besides,
yeah,
the one last year when they had Anderson Silva. I think Anderson Silva was in the main event, and it wasn't a title fight. And there was no title fights on that card. Actually, no, there was. They had I can't even remember the card because it was so terrible. What was the thing? Oh yeah, the one they had.
It was Anderson Silva and Michael Bisping.
Nah. I'm thinking of when they had Anderson Silva and Derek Brunson. That card they had last year.
Hey,
that one I thought was the main event, but
hey,
they
but
had
was
the
that?
Women's,
but that
yeah,
wasn't
no,
scheduled
ahead.
To be the main event, though, was it?
Yeah, nah. They had the women's thing there. See, it was so not memorable that I can't even remember what it was. But yeah, they had the women's title fight there, and it was really boring. Lackluster the main event, that's probably why I forget what it was. But yeah, they had the Anderson Silva card, and it was no title fight. But yeah, that's the standard now. So
Jeez,
I can understand why. I can
understand
why.
It sounds like you at a party, bro.
Yeah, is there a lot of background noise? is it coming in like a lot? Because I don't want it to be drowning out what we're saying.
I mean, I can hear you, but I can hear the people in the background. So I already heard the dog barking. So, your headphones are great.
Too, and I'm, like, actually kind of far away from everything, so I thought I was good. I mean, if it's coming in a lot, I don't want that to be a nuisance to the show, so I don't want the listeners to not be able to hear it. But if you think it's not bad, then if it's not too bad, then...
I know somebody loud or somebody laughing.
All right, so that's an answer then. All right. Yeah,
hey,
so.
But look, man, you know, I was just telling the people about the Asuncio Font fight. That was one of the fights that me and you was talking about the other day on our last show. It was about being a sleeper fight of the night, man. And I really like this fight, man. This Rob Font Asuncio fight.
Yeah, I said that one was gonna be my sleeper fight. I actually picked that in my DraftKings lineup too. I got Rob Font on I only have one lineup, but I got him as one of my you can pick six fighters, so I got him one of the six. And I'm pretty confident about that one. I mean the
So,
yeah, go ahead.
So you got Font winning or Asuncio?
Yeah, no, I'm taking Rob Font. Come on, man. He's from my backyard. Of course I got him winning. Plus, the Asuncio guy's a boring fighter. We need to stop having guys like that at the top of the rank.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm rolling with Font, too, man. I think Font normally shows up when against big-time opponents, and he's definitely been a shocker. You know, a shocker guy. When you think he's gonna lose, he normally puts on a good show. So I think tonight, I think a lot of people predict. Is he the under? I want to say he's the underdog tonight. But you know, I don't do DraftKings as far as MMA. But I'm rolling with Font too, man. I think Font gonna win.
Yeah, Rob Font's probably the underdog, if I had to guess, because he's fighting the number three guy, and he hasn't even had a ranked fight. This is a big shot for him. So, I mean, this is one of those ones where if he jumps up to the top, he's going to have this one fight, and then he's going to be in the title talk.
All right, man, so let's go ahead and move on to the main card, man. We got Anthony Chiesa facing Showtime Pettis. Who you rolling with?
You there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought the call dropped. I didn't hear nothing.
No, I had asked you. I was like, we're going to move on to the main event, the main card. And I was like, we got Anthony Showtime Pettis going against Michael Chiesa, who missed weight. And I asked you, who are you going with in this fight?
Oh, I'm taking Showtime. I'm definitely taking Showtime. You know, So Chiesa, he missed weight, and he said when he was on the scale that he was like talking to the crowd almost. You couldn't really make out what he was saying, but I guess he said it's his last run at lightweight. So I imagine after this, he's gonna move up to welterweight. But yeah, Showtime's gonna get it. I'm hoping Showtime have a good performance. Hopefully, he can pull off an impressive win.
See, man, this is a little tough one for me to pick because normally guys that miss weight, I think they like 7-1. I think Yoel Romero is actually the first guy to lose after missing weight. But I'm going to go – you know what? I was going to go with Showtime, man. And you know what? I'm going to stick with him, man. There's something in me saying he's going to show up tonight. I think he's going to show up tonight. He's going to have a good performance. I think he's going to go to the scorecards. I think Chiesa is going to give it all he has. And I think Showtime is going to do some things as far as in the kick game and in the stand-up game that's probably going to throw Chiesa off his game. And plus, a lot of people don't know that Showtime is good on the mat as well. So, man, I think I'm going to take Showtime in a decision, man.
Yeah, I hope so, because he needs needs to get on a little run again. I mean, I like the guy, so, I mean. And I want to say, too, yo, everybody, you hear how happy he just was when he was saying how Yoel Romero, the first fighter to lose after missing weight. Everybody, he was so happy. He was ecstatic to just say that in a fight where he actually won that fight. But he,
judges, they be on some stuff lately, and I don't know what's going on.
Man, y'all champion almost got finished like 3 times, and he didn't even drop his opponent once, but he won the fight. I don't know, man. I don't know. He's shaky.
And once again, I'm going to go back to when did you knocking down your opponent mean you won that round? Because he really didn't start doing that until the 4th round. I had Bobby Knuckles winning the first 3 rounds. So, okay, Yoel Romero, he finally started doing something in the 4th and 5th rounds. So, unless somebody gave him a 10-8 round, then, of course, Bobby was going to win the fight.
Yeah,
so,
but I thought they said the narrative is the championship rounds is what can decide a fight. I thought they said the championship, there's a reason why it's called that.
How you do in the 4th and 5th round. And if you win the 4th and 5th round, then that's only
if the champ or if it's a close fight. But Rob had won the first 3 rounds. Unless in your eyes you felt that Yoel Romero had won one of the first 3 rounds, which I didn't.
I thought
Romero finished the strongest. But I didn't think he started the strongest.
I thought Romero won probably the 3rd, 4th, and 5th round. But the 3rd one was close. So I think it should have been a draw. I don't think that – I mean, it was a justice to the fight that they gave a split decision. But that could have been a draw.
If it was a draw, I wouldn't have been mad about it. If it was a draw, I wouldn't have been mad at that being the outcome. Because it was that good of a fight and that closely contested of a fight. I think if one judge would have gave Romero a 10-8 round, then it probably would have been a draw. But I don't think none of the judges gave him a 10-8 round.
Stick with this card, man. Yes, I won't get off topic. I was about to say who they got on the next Ultimate Fighter, but I won't even go. I won't even go because we'll leave that for the next time. Your boy Bobby Knuckles is one of the coaches, though. I'll say that.
Anyways, going forward.
Hey, Kevin Gastelum?
Nah, I ain't even gonna. Nah, you said stick to this card, so I ain't even gonna say nothing.
I'm intrigued now. No, you already brought it up. I'm intrigued. Who is it?
Hey, everybody, you heard him. He said stick to this card, so I can't mess up the flow here. He's gonna have to go research.
All right, we'll jump into that after we make our prediction. So the next fight on the main card is Paul Felder versus Mike Platinum Perry.
Oh yeah, so First of all, I'm kind of surprised they didn't jump the Rob Font fight off to the main card, because I thought
they like to have five fights for the main card, and right now they only have four. So that's weird to me. But, yeah, you have – I feel like Paul Felder's probably going to – Paul Felder probably win the fight, but I'm rooting for Mike Perry because I'm kind of – I don't like how guys look down on Mike Perry. I think everybody got to take wins and losses, and I think he's got potential. You know, he talks a big game, but, oh, well, bro, you got to have some kind of entertainment here. You got guys like Paul Felder that go up there and put people into a snooze fest. So I'm rooting for Mike Perry. I hope he knocks him out, actually.
Actually, I'm on USC.com right now, and they don't really have who's on the main card. The first four fights are DC Stipe, Nagano Lewis, Felder Perry, Chiesa Pettis, and Gokhan Saki, and Khalil Roundtree.
Oh yeah, they should have jumped that one. I got him in my lineup too. I like Gokhan Saki. He used to be in the kickboxing. He was like a kickboxing champion. So he still got a
few
himself.
I'll take a Paul. Well, I'm going to take Paul Felder in this fight, man. I think this dude, he's been training, for the last two events, and his last two opponents had to pull out for, certain things. And then, he's actually fighting Paul Felder. He's fighting Mike Perry. I think I'm going to go with Felder, man. I think he's a little bit more hungrier to be in this fight. I think Perry can catch him because of that right hand. And Perry, man, when he throws a punch, he puts everything in the world behind it. So I'm going to go with Paul Felder, man. So that's the first one we disagree on so far. But let's jump back to your boy, Gokhan Saki versus Khalil Roundtree. So I guess you're rolling with Saki in this one.
Yeah, I hope Gokhan. His last fight was his debut, and it was looking a little shaky. He kind of had a hard time. You know, you see guys come in and debut, and they usually have a pull off an impressive win or something like that. Like Mike Perry's debut was huge. I think he had a knockout in his UFC debut. So, but yeah, Saki kind of had a tough first fight. I think he got like a late TKO or something like near the end of the second or third round. I forget who he fought, but the guy he fought ended up getting released by the UFC after that loss. So that doesn't really support his resume. That doesn't really boost his standing at all to me. I mean, he fought a guy who was on the edge of getting released. He probably lost a couple fights leading up to that. So I don't know. He needs.
Yeah, he beat Henrique da Silva. He won a performance of the night bonus for that fight.
Oh, who's Gokhan Saki did? Oh, okay. I hope to see him get a big win tonight. I like that.
Yeah, dude. I think it's gonna be a good fight with him and Khalil Roundtree. I think Khalil Roundtree can wrestle. I don't know about his striking game. I think I'm going to roll with Saki too, man. I think Saki is hungry. He wants to prove that his UFC debut wasn't a fluke. So I think he's going to come out there and put on a show tonight. I'm going to say he finishes on Roundtree tonight.
Yeah, because
no judges would be needed for this fight.
The thing is, I think if Khalil tries to strike with him, then it's gonna be an early night. But if it goes the other way and they take to the ground, then we'll have to see. Because I don't know that Saki. I don't know what's his ground. I mean, you have a kickboxer coming in and you're trying to. I mean, if you take him, they don't. I don't know that he even trains that. So I think he would. Roundtree would probably have the advantage there, no? I mean, you have, like, two completely different fighters in that one, so.
at least to my understanding.
Yeah. Because I know Roundtree can wrestle. I know he can wrestle. But I don't think he wants to stand up with Saki. And I think if Saki can just, if he gets taken down and get back up, he'll be all right. But he can't get taken down and stay down. So, but I still think if he can get his striking game going, that'll keep Roundtree at bay a little bit as far as, like, not rushing in, you know, probably trying to figure out angles and stuff like that for the takedown. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Gokhan, man. I think he's probably going to put on a nice performance tonight.
Yeah, I think I had him. I think I got him in my DraftKings lineup as well. So, if that means anything, I want him to be in there just because, I mean, I tried to pick the fighters who I thought were a lock because, like, the fights that I was worried about, like, I thought about picking Mike Perry, but I was like, I'm kind of worried. Like, I think he'd be more likely to lose than Saki. So, I try to put the fighters who I'm not as worried about. Like, I'm not worried about Derek Lewis. I picked Derek Lewis. I know a lot of people. I know he's a heavy underdog and stuff like that, but that's just people who are – those are all the ooh-ah fans who are just amazed by a guy who hits hard. I mean, we've seen that plenty of times. Look at Rumble. Rumble was the hardest-hitting guy the UFC ever seen, and he was destroying people, and he got exposed after. So, and that's what happened. Ngannou got exposed once he hit the mat. And we all know that Derek Lewis can wrestle. So let's see Derek Lewis. And we all know Derek Lewis isn't going to be scared to stand and bang with him. So, and plus Stipe just showed us that. If you go back and watch the, I mean, you actually can't because if you weren't at the event, they released the fight. But if you watch it, Stipe did stand and bang with Ngannou for a couple different moments in that five rounds. It wasn't like he kept him on the ground the whole time. Stipe actually, if you watch the highlights, he landed a lot of shots on Ngannou, and it's because Stipe's head movement is so damn good. Overall, he's such a good boxer that he outclassed him so bad. And we might see that with Derek.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Stipe actually made Ngannou look really bad. He made him look really, really bad. And I think one thing Stipe did against Ngannou that Derek Lewis probably can use is Stipe stayed at distance. He used his jab, stayed at distance. You know, he wrestled him when the chance was there, but he fought a smart fight. And then in the championship rounds, you could see Ngannou faded. His cardio wasn't there. There was nothing behind his shots. So then Stipe started to take more chances in the fourth and fifth round. So I think with Derek Lewis, I think being that Derek Lewis can wrestle a little bit, will he wrestle him, though? Will he try to expose Ngannou's greatest weakness as far as putting him on his back and him not being able to get up? Or will Derek Lewis try to show that he hits harder than Ngannou? So it all depends on which Derek Lewis steps in the octagon tonight. I'm going to go with the Derek Lewis that's going to fight a good fight, a smart fight, that's going to take Ngannou down, try to ground or pound him, you know, and probably outpoint him rather than finishing him. So I'm saying that it'll probably be 2-1, Derek Lewis. So that's what I'm going with. I'm rolling with Derek Lewis tonight in a decision.
Yeah, I also took Derek Lewis in my lineup, too, because I have 100% confidence that he wins this fight. And also, I think the UFC, it's in their best interest that he wins this fight, because what happens if your number one guy beats another top five guy who just had a title fight? Now you have to turn around and have him demand a rematch with Stipe that nobody wants to see. He just got dominated. They don't want to put him. I think it's in their best interest.
I don't want to see that either.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, Dana White, can see that again. So,
I think Ngannou will have to win at least. He will have to go on like a four-fight win streak since the heavyweight division is so whack that he will have to go on a four-fight win streak just to get another shot at Stipe. But if Ngannou wins, then they might put Ngannou in against DC as DC's first title defense unless Stipe invokes his rematch clause immediately. So we'll see how that ride out. But speaking of DC and Stipe, go ahead.
Yeah, so everybody, I think Lee has gone over to the dark side, because I just heard him say that Stipe is going to need to use his rematch clause. I don't really know what's this madness.
No. That ain't what I said. I said if Stipe loses, he will probably invoke his rematch clause. I didn't say when he loses. I said if he loses. Big difference.
Yeah, but that was the first outcome that you said tonight.
Well, it really is an odd being that I already have said that I'm going with Stipe to punish DC and get him up out of there by the third round. So I've been consistent with this one. I think Stipe punishes him in the second round, finishes him in the third round, and then we can get all this talk about DC versus Brock Lesnar, DC versus Derek Lewis. We can get all that craziness out of our vocabulary, and we can talk about DC finally fighting Gustafson again, probably at the end of the year or at the top of next year. So
yeah,
I'm going with Stipe by KO in the third round.
It's funny, that's not the first time I've heard that exact prediction, too. I heard, you know, one or two other Stipe third round knockout predictions so far. The media, I feel like a lot of media is pushing for Cormier to win. I think the UFC might even want that, because you know they always want. I mean, you know they always root against Stipe anyways. I'm not even going to talk about business wise. They just don't like Stipe. That's the thing. I mean, look, he might not have the best. You know, he don't get up on the mic and have everybody, you know, floored with what he says, but he goes out there and gets it done every time. So I just don't get how people, you know, do this 180 right back to doubting Stipe every time he gets a new opponent, because he's taken out everybody. Everybody that anybody doubted him, he took them out. What's he on, like a 6-fight win streak
exactly.
Now? He fought all killers?
He done beat everybody. Yep.
So,
only person he has a fort
yet
I think the only person he has a fort is Cain Velasquez, but I think he may have fought Cain already. But I know he done beat the top five guys already. I know that much. So I don't know why Stipe doesn't get respected more. But you know, man, it goes back to what me and you say, man. The UFC decides who they want to hitch the horse to, who they want to promote, who they want to be head and shoulders over the other fighters as far as promotion and pay-per-views. And Stipe, Tyron Woodley, and Demetrius Johnson, they get no love from the UFC, man. No love.
That's why I was surprised that Demetrius got him, you know, going on the UFC 3 Icon Edition cover, because I mean that's some promotion. Good for him. Finally get something out of him.
Yeah.
Everybody, he ain't even satisfied with that. He's like, man, after all this time, that's what we get.
but you know, Keys, man. Since day one, man, I always felt that the UFC disrespects Demetrius Johnson, man. It's like, maybe it's his size. Maybe it's just his size. They try to say it's his pay-per-view buys and stuff like that. If you got a guy with that skill and has fought and cleaned out his whole division, that you created a tough, the Ultimate Fighting Series to find an opponent for him. Come on, bro. You got to put that guy You got to hitch the wagon to that guy, man. It's like they refuse. It's like the wagon they hitched to right now, the wagon is still hitched to Connor. They hitched it to Cubby Covington. They definitely got a hitch to Daniel Cormier. And they got a hitch to Cyborg. Other than that, man, they don't, man, it's just crazy. It's just crazy to me. It's just crazy.
The funny part about it is Cyborg doesn't even talk. I can't even understand what Cyborg be saying when she tries to speak. So I don't really get why that's – I mean, I guess it's like a – I almost want to say like a freak of nature kind of thing. Like everyone's just amazed how like this female is – you know, looks like she should be fighting in the men's division. Kind of like when Ronda Rousey – but then again, Ronda Rousey kind of – I mean, she did have a little story behind her. I feel like the Cyborg, they never really promoted her. I mean, they definitely want her in main events, but I don't know. That's a weird thing to me. But at the same time, you know, Demetrius Johnson, it's like the more fights you win, the more doubted you are, and the less respect
yep.
you get, regardless of who you are.
It's like the UFC wants him to go up to 135. It's like they want him to probably vacate the 125 belt, move up to 135, whereas we already seen when he went up to 135, he had struggles against the bigger fighters at 135. So my thing is, if you want him to fight the guys at 135, have him fight them at a catchweight at 130 or have them come down to 125. So, but the UFC, and then the Tyron Woodley thing, oh, my God. Just having Covington and RDA fight for an interim belt alone is so disrespectful to Tyron Woodley, a guy that fought three times in 2017, a guy that's probably been one of your most natural commentators on TV, and you gonna basically get him your ass to kiss because he had a high shoulder surgery. Come on, man. That's and then the guy that you got wearing that little intro belt has done nothing, has fought no one but Damian Maia. Man, it's just terrible.
He said it's just terrible. Nah, it is. It's funny, too, because I guess that card didn't even really sell well. You know, they thought Covington was like turning into this big draw for fans, and they had basically a stacked card. I mean, we said this on one of the other shows. They had a lot of star power on that card, and it did trash numbers. Like, I don't know if the final number came out. I don't know how long it takes to count up some damn pay-per-views, but the last time I heard it, they said it did like 150. And that's just sad.
Yeah, I don't think that card was going to do well anyway, man, because, first of all, half the fans, I would say 60% of UFC fans don't like Cubby Covington, and probably 80% of the fans realize that he didn't even deserve that opportunity. And probably, I would say 50% of the fans felt like it shouldn't have been an interim title fight. So the UFC, they got what they wanted. They wanted Covington to actually, I think they wanted Covington to win the interim belt. So that would give Woodley no excuses or not accepting the fight against Covington, because it's been reported in the past that he refused to fight Covington. So that's where we at now. And I think RDA is probably going to end up fighting Usman, with the winner of that fight probably getting the next title shot. So look for RDA versus Usman down the road, and look for Covington versus Tyron Woodley also. So that's what we at in that division, man.
I heard they were trying to make that fight too, the Dos Anjos and Usman. I saw that reported somewhere that they were trying to work that fight out. So we'll probably actually see that one sometime this year.
That's cool with me.
But I want to say this before I forget. You know, when we were saying earlier about the two title fights, we were supposed to have two title fights. Now, I have an issue with this because it's not even about Holloway, because Holloway, I wanted to see him fight, but you know, he has legitimate reasons. He has, you know, health conditions, and maybe he needs to. Maybe, I mean, I don't know if it's a weight cut thing, a weight cut related thing, but maybe he needs to move up to 155. Maybe he's outgrown, you know, the featherweight division, and that's just fine because he's such a great competitor. You know, I think he could compete at 155, and that would actually make the 155 division even that much more interesting than it already is because they already have so many contenders there. It's like overwhelming. So to just add Holloway into the mix would just bring up so many, you know, awesome fights. You know, just pick anybody in the top 10 and just have them fight Holloway, and that fight's already a scrap right there. And I think he could beat, you know, most of those guys. You know, five, six of those guys at least. Not saying that he would lose to the other four, but you know what I'm saying. My real point is that I think Ortega. Now, I have a hot take about Ortega. I don't know if people are saying this. I don't really know what's the consensus, but man, this is how I see it. I don't know if you understand, but Ortega wouldn't even have been in the co-main event. Frankie gave him that opportunity to even be in the co-main event. And you know why? Because Frankie's not afraid of other contenders.
No.
Frankie gave away his title
exactly.
Shot. Now, tell me how it makes sense. Ortega is the guy who gets the opportunity from someone who was giving up their title shot. Frankie could have easily just said, "Nah, I'm waiting for Holloway, and I'm not taking the fight with Brian Ortega," right? But then now Brian Ortega is supposed to fight Holloway. Holloway falls out with a health condition. Now, so then the UFC tries to scramble, and I heard that they were desperately trying to make a couple different fights. They were trying to make Frankie. Frankie said he was willing to fight either one of the guys. He said he would have fought Ortega again. They almost made that fight, but then I guess Frankie's family said no, that his family said no, we're not like letting him fight Ortega again. So they couldn't make it. And then they tried to make Frankie versus Jeremy Stephens, and Frankie accepted that fight, but I forget what happened. That fell through for some reason. And then the big fight that they wanted to do was Ortega. I guess Jeremy Stephens was cutting weight, trying to he was really calling out Ortega, and they wanted to do that for an interim belt. They wanted to have Ortega fight Jeremy Stephens for an interim belt because, you know, Frankie, he couldn't get in there. So, and then Ortega turned down the fight, and he said he's not taking anything. He's going to wait for Holloway. Now, I just think this is so ironic because he doesn't realize the opportunity that he was even given by somebody who was in the same shoes as him, and now he's turning his head when not considering that he wouldn't even have the opportunity to turn his head if Frankie had turned his head to the opportunity to fight him. So I think that's low, and he's not showing. If he wants to be the champion, he don't look like the champion turning down that fight. That's how I feel. I lose respect for Ortega for doing that. I thought he was a guy who would step up and fight anybody, but clearly he's not because he's already picking fights and he's not even the champion. So that's just sad and shame on him for blowing the co-main event because I blame that entirely on him. That's how I feel.
Well, I feel like Frankie is a fighter. He's one of my favorite fighters. I mean, he could have sat back and waited on Holloway, but he didn't. He wanted to fight. So, you know, he got in there and he lost his opportunity. So that's why I think and then he jumped right back in there and beat Club Swanson. So I think then everybody else that's below him, he already beat him. Only person he hasn't beaten is T-City Ortega. So I think Ortega probably looked at Frankie's situation and was probably like, man, you know, I know he did it for me, but I'm not doing it for him just in case he come back and beat me. Then, you know, I got to fight my way back in. So I can see it from both ways. But I think if you say you're the best, go out there and fight the best and beat the best. So show everybody that it wasn't a fluke that you beat him. Because you know what? If he would have beat him again, if they would have made this fight and he would have beat Frankie again, if T-City would have won the belt, Frankie would have never got a title shot against him. because we already seen it twice. So that's one way Ortega could have looked at it.
Yeah. No, I look forward to Holloway smashing Ortega when he comes back, and then he can move up to 155 and claim king, you know, possibly of two divisions. So yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I never gave my prediction for the Stipe in DC, and I think I've already expressed, you know, multiple times how I felt about it, if I haven't yet. Stipe is Stipe the God. That's how I call him. Stipe is a savage beast. And he will tear DC limb from limb, and he will eat his carcass in front of his hyena friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
And Stipe will spit the bones at Luke Rockhold.
Oh my God, that's funny as
Mister, I just got viciously knocked out in my last two or three fights back to back, but I'm asking to fight Gustafson. Man, Rockhold needs to be admitted to the hospital, bro. This guy, I think, really got hurt, like from getting brutally knocked out so many times. He needs to get checked up. I think he done lost his damn mind. I think him and DC done lost both their damn minds. That whole team done lost their mind. Even Khabib done lost his mind. All three of them should get checked, and they all going down. They all seem to. Hey, I seen Ferguson on video, man. Ferguson's ready to go. Ferguson said he's eyeing September comeback. I wasn't expecting him to bounce back this quick. Ferguson's ready. My guy Ferguson is coming for that belt.
Uh-oh. Well, they better not make that fight because we know to fall through.
Yeah, well Ferguson's got to fight somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know it'll fall through. That's true. But he's still coming for that belt.
I think
whether he got to fight Ali Kenta.
I think Ferguson, they'll probably get him a warm-up fight, and then he'll probably fight the winner of the Conor Khabib fight.
I almost wanted to say Ferguson and Kevin Lee, but then I remembered they already fought.
Yeah, they already fought. They fought for the interim belt, I think.
I think Kevin Lee. Oh no, I was gonna say he should step in and fight Gaethje because Iaquinta was gonna fight Gaethje, and then Iaquinta like turned down. I don't know. He accepted the fight, then turned it down. I was gonna say he should jump in and fight Gaethje. But then I remember James Vick actually jumped in to fight Gaethje, so that's crazy. I don't know who's there for Kevin Lee to fight, but that's my guy, so I want to see him get back in there soon.
Yeah, I think Kevin Lee has been calling out Nate Diaz here lately. I think that's the fight the UFC want to make, which I think will be a goddamn awesome fight. I think that fight will be good. So, but look, man, you dropped a bombshell on me earlier, man. So we're not gonna get off here. This probably be our last topic. So who's gonna be the tough enough coach against Bobby Knuckles, man?
Oh yeah, they got Kelvin Gastelum is the other coach.
Man, that's what I said at the beginning.
Yeah, but you told me not to. You told me stay about the card. So you said don't say it. So I didn't say nothing.
So we know that fight is gonna happen then. So whenever they announce them as tough coaches, then normally they gonna be scheduled to fight down the road. Oh
yeah, I'm.
But
yeah, go ahead.
But nah, have you heard your boy David Branch has been calling Jacare out, man, like crazy, man. He said he didn't even fight him in Brazil. He been calling him out on Twitter, man. He been calling him out on Instagram. You know, he even put a little cartoon on Twitter Whereas he went and bought like a pack of alligator nuggets or something, and he was like, "Well, I had to go get some alligator nuggets since I couldn't get the real one."
Wait, who are you talking about? The guy who Rockhold that fought? He fought Rockhold?
Yeah.
And he was supposed to fight Yoel Romero. I can think of his face, but I can't remember his name. He was from like the Pride fighting or something like that.
Yeah, he came from another organization where he was holding a belt. He was a champ in another organization. I want to say it was WSOF, World Series of Fighting or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He's been calling out Jacare, right.
Yeah, he's been calling him out, man. Like, yo, why you running from me? Hey, all thing we got to do is get in the ring to figure out who the next one to fight for the belt. I was like, wow.
I think they should have him fight Romero. Whatever his name, they should have him fight Romero. Jacare needs to sit down for a while and think about life because he's been losing.
Well, Romero is going up to light heavyweight, so that's not going to happen unless Huh?
What makes you say that? You heard he was moving up?
Because, man, Dana said he done missed weight the last two fights at middleweight.
I don't know. I feel like he's small for 205, though. I think if he puts on all that weight, I don't know. Well, who knows? The guy probably could walk around at 210 and he just cuts a lot of weight. I have no idea. It's so confusing to me with this. You know, speaking of that, did you hear that that Cormier weighed in heavier than Stipe?
They said he weighed in at 248. He came in at 248.
Yeah, man, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he would. He got big. He got heavy.
Well, you know him making 205 was hard already. Most of the time he couldn't even make weight. You know, he had to use the towel and all this other bullshit to make 205. So, you know, I think this is real true division. So, you know, I am kind of shocked that he came in heavier than Stipe, being that he's smaller than Stipe. So maybe it's a reason behind why he came in heavier.
Yeah, but you see, though, the thing is that having the extra weight can't save him. I know he thinks that those few extra pounds is going to save him, but nothing can save him. The Stipe is coming for him.
No, he's not going to get saved tonight. The bell ain't going to save him. Only thing that's going to save him is the referee stepping in and stopping the fight. That's the only thing that's going to save him.
Or if Rockhold, you know, has to enter the octagon with a steel chair, and there's a disqualification. Rockhold gonna try and save him.
Rockhold, Kane, and Khabib.
Yeah.
They all jump in and jump. They all get in the cage and jump Stipe. Why they're the NWO?
Man, which one of them guys is Kevin Nash?
Kevin Nash. That'll be Kane, since he's the biggest.
Oh yeah. That's true. I can see that. I mean, I think the UFC wants to be WWE so bad, so. They probably wouldn't mind if there was a, you know, steel chair thrown in there. Someone come in and throw a ladder in the octagon. They want
CM Punk.
Well, look,
man, we already made our...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, look, man, we already made our predictions, but how you feel about Ronda Rousey going into the Hall of Fame the other day?
I think a lot of a lot of people are quick to, I think, MMA fans, UFC fans, like pretty much everything. I mean, sports, everything. Like, people are just, entertainment fans everywhere are quick to, they're very quick to turn their heads to who they're a fan of, which is understandable because people can be fans of many different people. You don't have to just, you know, stay loyal. I mean, it's not like they know you. It's not like they're your family or something and you want to see them win. I mean, even then, it really doesn't matter. But my point is I just think that Rousey people, the same people that were rooting for her and that were so excited for her and the same people that didn't care that she was main eventing all those cards and that were actually anticipating her fights and, you know, posting her, you know, 45-second knockouts and, you know, on Facebook and this and that, all those people turned their backs on her and then said that, you know, who'd she ever fought and, you know, she sucks and all this and now why is she in the hall? You know what I mean? And that makes no sense to me. I think she's very deserving to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because her story is so huge. She basically made people give a damn about women's UFC and she formed that whole thing. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't she the one who opened everybody's eyes up to the possibility of women in the UFC? Wasn't that the first, I mean, the bantamweight division, wasn't that the first division that they come up with?
Yep. That was the first one.
And then
one.
They did the straw weight.
And actually,
after that, so.
Yep.
The reason you have.
Because actually.
The reason you have these Joanna champions and the Rose, you know, Thug Rose, these girls were. If it was a man, you would say these fighters are all his sons. But as this, you would say these are all. Rousey birthed all these top contenders. You know, this is, she paved the way for all these people. And people like her is the type that needs to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because she did a lot for the UFC. She brought a lot of new fans in that didn't give a damn before. And she made, you know, women's division in the UFC something that people accepted. And now they're able to make a whole bunch of other title fights and have new storylines with other, you know, female fighters and people – you know, are willing to watch it. I mean, it's not Rousey. It's not her story. It's not the same feel, probably. I mean, a lot of those fans probably aren't watching because it's not Rousey. They're probably watching WWE now because she's over there. But I still think that she definitely deserved to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, she's very deserving of it, and she definitely paved the way for a lot of this that's going on now. So, you know, much respect to that. I support that.
Yeah, I'm with you because I think that Dana has said there will never be women fighters in the UFC. He was very, very when he said it, he was adamant about it. He was like, there will never be women fighters in the UFC. And then he said he met Ronda Rousey, and she changed his mind. Her drive changed his mind. The way she approached him and told him that women in the UFC could work, and that if it didn't work, he could put it on her. And, man, she went out there and she did her thing. I know as far as me personally, I never thought I would really be into women in the UFC. But she changed my mind, bro. She changed my mind, too. So, shout out to Ronda. Congratulations to being the first woman UFC Hall of Fame. I guess Misha Tate will probably be somewhere right behind her. Probably Cyborg will be there one day. Joanna, probably. And then you got a lot of other women that's going to probably be in the UFC Hall of Fame just because of all the things Ronda Rousey did.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Misha Tate is pretty big, too. I mean, Misha Tate, because they had a couple – really good fights. I mean, Tate and Rousey. And those title fights are the ones that really, I think if she had eyes on her before, her fights with Misha Tate, it's kind of like, they're like classics. Like, probably not as big, but I mean, like the rivalry, it's like, you know, Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald. It's like those fights are the ones that really, if you had eyes on you, on the champion,
then, after that fight, you even had that many more fans. It's just fights like that that elevate names.
Yeah, man, because I know that that man, that damn Lawler-Rory fight, that fight was so fucking hellacious and went back and forth. Man, that fight, whew, just thinking about that fight getting me amped up because, man, I was like, man, Rory, ain't no way Rory could come back. Then here come Rory storming back. Then you're like, man, Lawler on his feet. The heck of Lawler. I was like, boy, these boys, they leaving it all out there tonight. That man, that was a hellacious fight. Whew.
Yeah, that's one of the best. Did they fight twice or was it one time?
One time.
Yeah, that one is definitely one of the best fights of all time. I mean, definitely like top three fights I've watched, you know, in my time watching the UFC. If I had to go off the top, it'd probably go in no order, it'd probably go that one, Connor and Nate too, and then the Bobby Knuckles and Romero too that we just saw. Those are probably my top three fights.
Yeah, I got John Jones and Gustafson. I got the Lawler Rory fight, and I got I'll go with the Romero Bobby Knuckles fight too. That was a good fight too.
Hey, at least you admit it. You know, we only got. Hey, we only got a few minutes left, so, you know, we got to send them off right. You got any last few words for the listeners?
Nah, man, I'm good for tonight, man. You know, I kind of like this format of us doing a show on the day of the UFC event, where that way, you know, we know all the fighters will be there or whatever. So, you know, That was a good idea on your part. And I wish you well tonight with the DraftKings.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I'm always optimistic, but at the same time, I'm always ready to lose too because, I mean, my fighters, I mean, my lineup, I think it's good. I think it's solid, but at the same time, it's like anything can happen in the UFC. So, you know, I just expect, you know, I expect the unexpected. With, you know, I'm sure, you know, at least three of my guys are going to take W's, but I mean, I don't expect my whole lineup to sweep. That'd be awesome if they did, but who really knows? Because like I said, anything, I mean, we know anything can happen at any time. So, you know, shout out everybody for listening. You know, we appreciate the support, you know, and the UFC appreciates the support. So tuning into UFC 226 tonight. This is a huge card. You know, I was at the barbershop the other day getting my hair cut, and it was actually a barber that I never cut my hair before. I actually never met him because he was new to the shop, and he had asked me what I had planned for the weekend. I was like, you know, man, like really nothing crazy. I'm going to enjoy the weekend, but, you know, there's a big, big fight card on tomorrow. I don't know if you watch the UFC, but you should check that out because, you know, this is probably the biggest card of the year. You know, they've got the heavyweight champion fighting the light heavyweight champion, and that's a real super fight right there. So, I mean, I was trying to just put my barber on right quick, but really, I could easily, you know, I willingly put anybody on because this is going to be, I think these are going to be some bangers on tonight. There's going to be double, two, three, maybe four really memorable fights. So, everybody go support the UFC. Go check out UFC 226. Keep supporting our show. We appreciate all the listeners. Like I always say, be careful with tornadoes if you're getting wild out here. Not really too much this time of year. It's kind of like going into hurricane season, I think. So probably say beware of hurricanes. You know, if you're going to go on a sailboat or something like that, you know, it might get flipped over at any moment. And the ocean's kind of wild, so I won't get too much into that. Lee don't like when I get into my, you know, being scared of the ocean talk. So, yeah, just be careful if you're out on a sailboat somewhere, man. And if you are on a sailboat, you know, and you've got, you know, connection and you can call in, maybe you can call into the show from the sailboat. You know, that'd be dope too. So always, you know, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, 917-889-3251 to call in, talk with your host, express your mind. We don't care. It could be any topic. We are not afraid of any topic. So, yeah, appreciate everybody. Have a good night, good weekend. Over and out, Lee and Keys, Real Talk.
Everybody be safe, man. Till next time, Lee and everybody have a good weekend. Everybody be safe. Until next time, we'll holler at you. USC 226 tonight. Later.